That's it? Okay. This week's parasha is the parasha of Truma. The parasha of Truma discusses at the beginning all of the things that had to be brought by Bnei Yisrael as a contribution in order to enable Moshe Rabbeinu and the artisans to build the Mishkan and everything else that was necessary. That's the parasha of Truma. That's this week's parasha. In Truma there's a pasuk, and the pasuk says, Avnei Shoam V'Avnei Milu'im Laifod V'Lachoshet. Now all of these words are kind of mysterious, but we'll take a stab at it. Right? An ephod is something that the Kohen wore. The Kohen got to wear an ephod. An ephod is a like an apron that has a front and a back to it. Like you probably tie it at the sides. That's an ephod. And it has ktefiot. You know, it goes over the shoulders. It, you know, that's how it was. The choshen was a breastplate that the Kohen also wore. So these are the items of clothing, and what I'm telling you is more or less agreed. No one that I know has ever seen a Kohen or seen a Kohen dressed up. But those are the general assumptions. So in the directives that Moshe Rabbeinu gave about the things that have to be collected in order to prepare everything for the Mishkan, so the pasuk says, Avnei Shoham. Shoham, let's assume they're precious stones. I don't know exactly what that means. A precious stone, I guess, is not so common. It's not like a stone that you find in Yerushalayim that you can build a building from. A precious stone is an uncommon stone. So there was an uncommon stone that was named Shoham. That was the name of the city. It was Avnei Shoham. Now that's as far as I can go. I don't know anything about the reality of it. I mean, I'm not always impressed that the people who tell me what it was, are so impressed that they know what it really is either, you know. It's like if, you know, Rashi says something and you don't know what it is, you look it up in a modern dictionary, it says the same thing, and then at the bottom it says Rashi. Like, you know, it's like everything goes in this kind of circle. You don't get more information. You just get it filtered in a different way. So Avnei Shoham, so Shoham seems to be the name of a precious stone. Like, stones have names, right? But the second thing that they have to bring is Avnei Milu'im. That doesn't sound like the name of a stone. That sounds like stones that were used for a certain purpose, Milu'im, Lemalot. So you see this little pasuk, this simple little pasuk getting more complicated, right? La'efod v'lachoshen. In other words, someplace in the ephod you used precious stones, and someplace in the choshen you used precious stones. But the pasuk doesn't tell us exactly what that place is. Avnei Shoham. You have to forgive me here. I went to visit the eye doctor, and he dilated my eyes, and he promised me that by 8 o'clock everything would be fine. So now I want my money back. You know, I felt good. I felt good until 8 o'clock.
Just give his name and you can get revenge.
No, he's a good doctor, but I think, you know, he's afraid of losing me at that moment, you know. Oh, he's not going to get his eyes dilated, you know. So it's right, everything is fine, he's just, I can't see what's on this piece of paper. So any event, it says, Avnei Shoham, Shtayim Hutzrichu, Shom. So you know that the Kohen wore this ephod, it's almost like a dress, like a very short dress on top of his, with these two things, shoulders. So on the shoulders, they put on each shoulder, they put a stone that was a shoham. Litzorach
No, that doesn't do anything. Litzorach ha'ifod ha'amur ba'avata tzaveh.
So Rashi says that the continuation of the story about the stones is in next week's parasha, in the parasha of Tzaveh. So that there's a continuum here between our parasha and the parasha of Tzaveh. Now let's go back to the problem of the pasuk. Avnei Shoham are stones that have a name. Right, but Avnei Miluim don't seem to have a name. They're not stones that have a name. Miluim, Rashi says, Al Shem Shol Simlehem Bizahav Moshav Kimin Guma. It's like you put the stone in a setting. That's what we say today, right? You put the stone in a setting. So a Guma, the word Guma means like a hole, something dug out. You made this kind of dug out place in which to grab onto the stones, and those are Avnei Miluim. Shosim lehem zahab moshav kimin guma. Ve'notnin ha'even sham lemalot ha'gufa. So aguma. So why are they called Miluim? Miluim to fill something, malay, to make it full, because Miluim is filling up this guma that holds the stone in place, like a stone setting. You have a ring, so the ring, you have to grab onto the stone somehow. So there are different ways to do it, right? You could do it with like prongs, or you could do it with like a setting, with like a plate. You put the stone into a plate, and somehow it's set there very significantly. So what Rashi is saying is that Shoham is the name of a stone, but Miluim is what you do with the stone. You make it into Avnei Miluim. It's not the name of it. So you need to build this, to build the Mishkan properly, to get the Big Day Kahuna, you need Avnei Shoham, and you need Avnei Miluim. That's what Rashi says. And then, La'ifod v'lachoshet. La'ifod v'lachoshet, Avnei HaShoham La'ifod, Avnei HaMiluim la'choshet. So he says, these stones, the stones that are called Shoham, they are going to end up on the ephod. Where on the ephod are they going to end up? On the shoulders. Like the Kohen had on each shoulder, he had a stone. Then the Avnei Miluim, the stones that are set in a setting, those are the stones that are used for the choshet. Choshet is like a breastplate. And on the breastplate, there were 12 stones of different, what do you call it? The psukim tell us what the stones are. You know, we may not know exactly what they are, but it's in the psukim. So that's what Rashi says. And then he says, do we read this? All right, I've now shown like thought of a name in the choshen. Choshen ve'ifad, thought miforashim, biva'atat titzaveh, ve'hei mimei takshit. So these words, ephod and choshen, are explained later on in the parasha of Tetzaveh, and it tells you exactly. The Torah tells you exactly where you put these stones. Okay. So now let's look at the parasha of Tetzaveh. That's Shmot Perek Kafchet. That's next week's parasha. But listen, we're trying to figure out what the show that the Avnei Shoham are. So it says Lakatla et Shtei Avnei Shoham. Right, there are two of them. Now we just learned. Ufitachta aleihem shemot bnei Yisrael. Pituach in Israel, in Hebrew, is to etch something into the stone. Now, how they etched into the stone is a problem, but you know exactly what this. But that's what pituach means. They took the stones, these two stones, that are called Avnei Shoham. I hope this is not getting too confusing. But the Avnei Shoham, Shoham being the name of a particular stone, even though I don't venture to guess what that is. So he says, Avnei Shoham, Pitachta Aleihem Shemot Bnei Yisrael. You etch on the stones the names of Bnei Yisrael. What names of Bnei Yisrael were there when Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan? The names of the tribes. So it means, so as we know, there's six names. It's here's the pasuk: Shisha Mishmotam al Ha'even Ha'achat.
that Shemot HaShisha HaNotarim Ala Evan HaSheinit. Right, so you put six names on one stone, on one shoulder, and six names on the other stone, which is placed on the other shoulder, right? And then it says that word, L'toldotam. Kitoldotam, sorry. What does Kitoldotam mean? What's so the in chronological order? In chronological order. So you say, well, why the Torah stress the chronological order? I mean, what difference does it make how you put the names on the stones that you put on the shoulder of the Kohen Gadol? So Rashi is going to tackle this. Rashi says, Kitoldotam, Kiseda Shinoldu. That's what Kitoldotam means. In the order, chronological order, the older ones first and the younger ones last. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Dan, Naphtali, Alachat, Valashemi, Tikad, Asher, Yisachar, Zebulun, Yosef, Ubinyamin, Balei. Shekenhu, Katuv, Bimkom, Toldato. So Rashi gives us another piece of curious information. Binyamin Malay. You see Binyamin Malay? The name Binyamin, are there any Binyamins here? Are you the mothers or grandmothers? Who? Oh, where'd you come from? Miriam, I told you. Now look. Those of you who are related to somebody named Binyamin, when you read the Torah, the name comes up. Of course, you're curious about it. So you know that the word Binyamin, the name Binyamin, is spelled in two different ways in the Torah. One is called Malay and the other is called Chaser. Malay, Bin, Ben, Nun, Ya, Yud, Mem, Yud, Nun. Right, two Yuds. That's called Malay. But it's also written in the Tanakh, Chaser, that the second Yud is not there. Bin, Ya, then Memnun. Memnun, without a Yud in between the last two letters. So Rashi says, for some odd reason, you see what Rashi says? Like it's like a joke. I mean, you could see it, but I can't. He says, Yosef, he lists the names of all the tribes. Who was born last? Who was born last? Binyamin. So Rashi says, Binyamin Malay. That when they etched the names of the tribes into the stones that were carried on the shoulders of Aaron HaKohen, they wrote the name Binyamin Malay. They wrote the name Binyamin. There are two ways to write it. You can write it Malay. You can write it Chaser. Since both of them appear in the Tanakh, both of them are correct. But they decided, then Rashi says, Rashi has to point this out to us, right? You remember this, Rashi? By the time you were children, you don't remember. It's been here for many years, this Rashi. Nothing has changed. So Rashi says, Kain hu katu bimkom toladato. So when Binyamin was born, when the Torah tells us that Binyamin was born, his name is written in the Torah, Malay. So, you know, like they say, like that's the address. You know, Shlomo Kalbach used to say that, the first place. But it wasn't only Shlomo Kalbach, but Balatanya said it. The first place that something appears, that's the place where the essence of it exists. So according to Rashi, where they came to write the name Binyamin, they wrote the name Binyamin Malay, because that's the way it was written when Binyamin was born. And as a result, Esrim v'chamesh otiyot v'kol achat v'achat. What does that mean? Esrim v'chamesh otiyot v'kol achat v'achat. That's how they knew they were right. Because when they wrote the name Binyamin, I guess they were like thinking about it. On the desert, they said, you know, what should we write? Malay or Chaser? They came to the conclusion that they should write Malay. But after they came to that conclusion, they understood. They understood that they were right, because they counted the letters of the first six names and the letters of the second six names. You end up with 25 letters in each group, and then they knew that they were right.
Because otherwise it wouldn't have worked out.
Wouldn't have worked out so well. So again, what does Rashi say about the word the Toldotam? Rashi says several things. First, Rashi says, in the order of their birth, right? In the order of their birth. Then Rashi says, Binyamin was written Malay. Binyamin, the name Binyamin was written Malay. And the third thing Rashi says was that because it was written Malay, there were 25 letters in the first column on the left shoulder and 25 letters in the right column on the right shoulder. That's L'toldotam. Let's just read a little bit more of the psukim. Masech harash even, pituchei chotam, feteh et shdei ha'adranim, ashmot b'nei Yisrael, musabot, mishpitzot, zahav taseh otam.
So they made these kinds of holders out of gold that were put on the shoulders of the coin, and into those holders they put these stones on which the names were etched. V'samta et shtei avanim al ketfot ha'ifod avnei zikaron livnei Yisrael. Avnei zikaron livnei Yisrael. Was you put the two stones on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol, and they are avnei zikaron. What's avnei zikaron? Who is remembering what? When you put these stones on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol, avnei zikaron of Bnei Yisrael, for the benefit of Bnei Yisrael, something of that kind. V'nesa Aaron et shvotam b'fnei Hashem al shtei k'teifav l'zikaron. So I have this odd thing. Here's Aaron HaKohen, he's walking around, and his whole job is basically to look for ways of protecting, of defending, of speaking in favor of Bnei Yisrael. And the reason he does that, the reason he can do this, is because he's got these two stones on his shoulders. And they are Avnei Zikaron, Livnei Yisrael. And even though all of those words are pretty common Hebrew words, and even though we understand what the words mean and how they connect to each other, we don't really understand the idea. So Rashi, who is committed to helping us at these kinds of points, Rashi says this: Shirei HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Hashvatim, Ktuvim, Lefanav, V'yizkor Tzidkata. I mean, to me, you know, like sometimes you read a Rashi, and it's so odd that you just go on to the next one. And sometimes you just accidentally get stuck. So what could this possibly mean? What could this possibly mean that the Kohen Gadol is speaking on behalf of Bnei Yisrael because he has the names of the Shvatim written on his shoulders, so that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochol looks down at what's going on, like what are the people doing, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be reminded of the righteousness of all of Am Yisrael, because the Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., that's all of Am Yisrael. It's not just them. That's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says. Again, see the Zikaron, Shiyir'eh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashvatim, Ktuvim, Lifanav, V'yizkor, Tzidkatam. To me, this makes no sense. I can't even begin to understand what Rashi is explaining to us, so what all of this means. Okay. Now, I just want to introduce like the text of the Meshilach by looking at the following psukim. The first of them is in Shmot Perek Yud Gimel, a pasuk there when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'edaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor. You see that? The third source. V'edaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor. Kadesh li kol b'chor. Peter kol rechem b'vnei Yisrael. V'adam uva behema lihu. Okay, this is also a pasuk. I mean, look, you seem to have a run of difficult psukim here.
But this pasuk, even though it's difficult, it's very well known, and well-known psukim tend to be ignored because they're well known. It's like psukim that you don't remember that attract attention. So what does this pasuk say? Kadesh niko b'chor, right? B'chor is the firstborn. Kadesh li, put aside for me, give him a special status. Kadesh li, but that's not the hardest part of the pasuk. The hardest part of the pasuk is Peter kol rechem, right? Peter rechem b'chor, Peter rechem firstborn, right? The first one out of the rechem. Israel. And then it says, Badamu Vabeima, Lihu. Now we know that there are mitzvot of firstborn animals. Peter Chamor, we know that there's maaser that you give from animals. But what does this mean? Kadesh li Adamu Beima. Kadesh li Adamu Beima Bechor. What is the pasuk talking about? What connection could there possibly be between Adam, who could really achieve Kedusha, right, could get up to some wondrous height of relationship, his relationship to God. And the behemoth? I mean, well, what's the behemoth going to do with anything? You know, behemoth, you know, you could take them or leave them. Some people like behemoth and some people don't like behemoth. Okay, what's it going to do with Kedusha? How is it possible that the Kedusha of the Behemoth, of the Peter Rechem Bechor of the Behemoth, is compared somehow to the Kedusha of a person, of the Bechor? Now, you know that there was Makat Bechorot in Mitzrayim. The Bechorot, the human Bechorot, play a role in establishing the nature of Am Yisrael. Makat Bechorot, you remember? The Bechorot were designated to become the servants of God in the Mishkan, but after the Chet HaEgel, when they didn't separate themselves as they should have, but the Levim were the ones who went with Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Bechor lost his status and it went over to the Levi. But the idea of Bechor is still somehow ingrained. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Bini Bechori Yisrael. So it's like a mishmash. There's a Bechor, and there's a Kadeshli, and there's a Behemah. So how does this all come? So this is what the Pasuk says. V'yedaber Hashem el Moshe l'amor, Kadeshli kol Bechor Peter kol Rechem b'vnei Yisrael, b'adam u'v'behemah lihu. Peter kol Rechem, you'll get ahead yourself. Lihu, you see the second Rashi? La'atzmi. Kinitim al yudei shehiketi bechorei Mitzrayim. Because God destroyed the firstborn of Mitzrayim, somehow God appropriated the bechorot of Yisrael. There was some kind of relationship. Because the Malach HaMoves, as you remember, went to kill everything, right? He was willing to kill every bechor. But God prevented and created a shutafut, a partnership with Bnei Yisrael. They put this blood on their other mezuzot. And the Malach HaMavet did not destroy the firstborn of Bnei Yisrael. But as a result, Rashi says, there's a special relationship that's forged between the Bechor and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, that's only the human Bechor. What's it got to do with animals? How do animals get into this? How do animals get into this story? Okay, so now let's look at the, there's one more pasuk here, right? Then it says here, V'atem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. Remember that pasuk? Atem tiyuli, what does this mean? Atem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim. This is before Mountain Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, V'yishol, you will become a kingdom of priests. Now, who were the priests before Mountain Torah? Who were the priests before Mountain Torah? Who were the designated? The designated priests were the Bechorot. And if Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, Atem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim, that means that all of Bnei Yisrael are going to be Bechorot. Not just the Bechor, not just the
the actual Bechor, but all those who were born in Eretz Israel become the Bechor. That's the meaning of the Pasuk. Now you know that the Rambam says at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, the Rambam says that everybody can become one of the B'nai Levi. How did the Rambam know that everybody can become one of the B'nai Levi? B'nai Levi are the ones who were designated to work in the Mikdash and to teach Torah. Everybody could be B'nai Levi. If you're not from the tribe of Levi, how did the Rambam know that? I mean, it's a great Rambam. It's quoted often, but how did the Rambam know that? So maybe the Rambam knew it from this Pasuk because it says in the Pasuk, Atem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. You will be kohanim. Who? All of you. All of B'nai Israel. Who were they kohanim before this Pasuk was stated? The Bechorot. The firstborn of Israel were the kohanim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to B'nai Israel, it's true that you need a group of people devoted to the Avodah, the Beis HaMikdash. But in as far as those people have special status, they have special sanctity, that's available to everybody. And that's available to everybody through the Torah. So you see that this idea that everybody can become number one as long as they are connected properly to the Torah, that idea is already in the Torah itself. Atem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. That's what the pasuk says. Rashi says, Sarim, Kama Zotama, in other words, that's what Kohanim is. Kohanim, Rashi says, is Sarim. Sarim means that they're not, it's not a caste. It has nothing to do with Yichus. It has only to do with potential. And the human potential in B'nai Yisrael is the same. So we had two psukim. The first pasuk was about Bechor and Peter Rechem, and we didn't understand the connection. And then the second pasuk, Atem Tiyuli Mamlechet Kohanim, that everybody has the potential to be a Kohen, to be a Bechor, to be number one, and that may be where the Rambam gets his distinction. Now, we turn the page. Let's take a look at this Meishiloch, right? Meishiloch, you remember, the Meishiloch is Ishbitz. Ishbitz. So the Meishiloch wrote this in Parshas Bo. And I'll try to, I have to explain a little bit, but I think we're going to get it. He says, Kadesh Nikol Bechor, Badam Uvabeima. Remember that? That's the passage we just read. Right? And we had this question. How can you say Kadesh about Adam and Kadesh about Behema? And it's the same thing. I mean, like, I understand. God said to take the behemoth, but what do you mean, kadesh et behemah? Anyway, so it says this. Listen to this. Inyan Adam, so the word Adam in that pasuk, more al hachochma u'machshava shebemoach. That's called Adam. Adam is from the neck up. What distinguishes an Adam from other creations, other behemoth, is his ability to think. That's what an Adam is. That's called Chochmah u'machshava shebemoach. Ki zehu ikar tzurat Adam. It says when you think about what, if you try to think of the essence of the human being, the essence of the human being is to be able to think and to be able to express yourself, right? Thinking and speech. Those are the things that distinguish man / woman. But behema hainu koach ha-maaseh. But there's another part of us, of all the created beings. And that is that we can do things. We can accomplish things. We can set out to do a task and get it done. So he says, Ubehema inu koach ha-maaseh, v'hinei Hashem yitbarach, tzivah lekadesh, ulitzaref shteihem ha-maaseh v'ha-machshavah. So the way that the Meshulach looks at this pasuk is that it's a metaphor, and it should be read Kadesh Li, every human being. Every human being. The Adam in him, and the Behemah in him. And of course this reminds us, have you ever learned the Tanya, have you ever heard some itinerant Chabadnik going around and saying Tanya type stuff? The Tanya talks about the Nefesh HaBahamis that's inside of all of us. Now the Tanya of course came before the Meshulach, but the idea is that we are composite. And everybody knows that we're a body and a soul, right? You know, that kind of thing. But the Meshulach says it in a different way. He says that we are, our nature is to be thoughtful and to be able to express those thoughts on the one hand. And the other capacity we have is to do things, to make them happen. That's called behemah. Because the animals in the world only have that capacity. They have, you know, they do things. They do things, they do it again and again and again. They don't usually leave the pattern, and therefore that's the behemah inside of us according to the Meshulach. Right? So we have an Adam inside of us, and we have a behemah inside of us. And therefore when the Meshulach reads the pasuk, right, it's on the first page, next to the last source, is Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, Peter Kol Recha Mivnei Yisrael, Ba'adam Uva Behema, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu derives us to, directs us, I'm sorry, to try to achieve Kedusha, whatever that might mean. He directs us to achieve that Kedusha in both aspects of ourselves. In the part of us that could be called Adam, and the part of us that could be called Behemah. And that's not insulting. That's the way we are. We are thinkers, right? And conceptual analysts, but we're also doers, where there's the Adam in us, and there is the Behemah in us. Valzen Ne'emar Adam Uveimah Toshi Hashem Apostle, that Yeshua comes to Adam and Behemah. Who is Adam and Behemah? Us. We are Adam or Behemah, because we have those two qualities. So the great thing in this pshat is that there's no Behemah in the pasuk anymore. Right? There are no animals. The animals are irrelevant to this Kadesh Li Kol Bechor. Adam or Behemah is talking about man slash woman. That's the only topic in the pasuk. Ki Adam hu hamachshava ubeimah romeiz al hamaaseh. He says it clearly. Adam is the thought, and beimah is the maaseh. That's what we are able to do. V'hine Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom hu haya chachmot kol Yisrael. V'kol kocho haya koach haya bazeh haynu hamoach v'amachshava liyot Hashem yidbarach negdo tamid. So the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu, what enabled Moshe Rabbeinu ultimately bring the Torah in the world, was that there was no behemah in Moshe Rabbeinu. He was all Adam. He was all Adam. He was all machshava. That's all there was. And this is the explanation of why Miriam and Aaron were mistaken when they came to berate Moshe Rabbeinu about his family life. And they didn't understand that he was Adam. He was completely machshava. And since he was completely machshava, he couldn't have a ta'ana against him. He couldn't argue that he was doing something wrong by Arkane. Kol ha-Torah midaberet ha-ikar b'ma'asim. And then he goes on and he says, you know, that's why the Torah, when it tells you things, it tells you about ma'asim. Take a lulav, eat a matzah, build a sukkah, right? All these ma'asim. Because what the Torah is trying to address is the behemah in us. What is the behemah in us? The capacity to do things, to work. So the Torah gives us things to do. In order to turn the behemah part of us into kedusha as well. And that is the learning of the Torah. I mean, it's interesting also, in the light of this Meshilot, that the way people learn Torah in yeshivot, right, says what's called like the Lithuanian method of learning, is very impractical. It doesn't ever come to lema'aseh. You know, in fact, there are people who write articles, there are articles about halachic matters, and they say, l'halacha v'lo lema'aseh. What does that mean? It means I really enjoyed learning the material and I like writing the article, but don't pay any attention to what I said. You know, this is like a very rare form of intellectualism. So the idea that the Torah can purify, that's kind of obvious. But the Gog comes to the Meshilah says it also purifies the behemah in us, not only the Adam in us. Now, can't call the Torah the Beret Ha'ikam B'Masim Lapoel Hainu Shigam Ha'Maseh Yeh Kach Mizukach Ka'Machshava U'Lezeh Asar Moshe Rabbeinu Ha'Mishkan. See, that's what the Mishkan was about. Okay, so if we stop here, we use this idea of the Meshilah, we go back to the beginning of the story, I think we will understand. The Avnei Shoam were placed in the place that separates Adam from Behema. Like the Adam of Adam from the Behema of Adam on his shoulders. On his shoulders, so that they represent that on those shoulders, the place where the highest place of the behemah in man, right? That point, that juncture, the Kohen Gadol came into the Beit HaMikdash and turned to heaven and so to speak said, we're trying, right? We're working on the Adam and working on the Behemoth. It was as though Aaron HaKohen said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand. That's always the greatest prayer of all. Right? The prayer that says, I need something, well, that's not such an imaginative prayer. But the prayer that Aaron HaKohen came into the Beit HaMikdash to do the Avodah with was, I understand. I understand what the issue is. I understand what we have to accomplish. It's the Adam and it's the Behemah. And it's Am Yisrael that's working to conquer this problem. And so when the Avnei Shoham, which is what we're talking about, were placed on the shoulders of Aaron HaKohen, which is the place on the body where the Behemah and the Adam kind of meet together, and you announce Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, so you announce all of that, that is like a statement that cannot be turned down by heaven. Yes, I know what we're supposed to be doing. Yes, we're trying to accomplish what it is that the Torah wants us to accomplish. And that is because, and so, Rashi says, Ketoldotam means as they were born. Because we all know that birth, that the moment of birth or the moments right after birth are moments of the greatest purity in terms of like a child, a baby. A baby has, there's nothing impure in the actions of a baby. You know, it takes a while till we have the capacity to teach our children to be impure, right? But a baby can't lie. A baby can't steal. A baby can't, you have to learn those things. And unfortunately, children learn that from their parents. So that the ketoldotam means that what we're trying to do is recreate the Adam u'behemah as he was born. as the birth of that Adamu Behema took place. So the Meshiloach helps us out on this by changing the pshat of Adamu Behema from a man, an animal, to a man who is composed of Adam and also composed of Behema. And that in the Beit HaMikdash, this comes to a head somehow. If you look at the last source on the second page under the Torah says, again in Tetzaveh, "V'zeshet ha'asalam izbech v'asim b'nei shana shnaim liyom tamid." So the Torah says that there's a korban tamid, a perpetual sacrifice, given twice every day, once in the morning and once in the afternoon. Et hakeves ha'achat ta'aseh b'boker, et hakeves ha'shnit ta'aseh b'en ha'arbayim. V'yisaron soled balu v'shemen katit, rev ha'hin, v'nesach v'vit ha'hin, yayin l'keves ha'achat. So then there was a nesach of yayin, there was a libation, a wine libation given with the korban. V'et hakeves ha'shnit ta'aseh b'en ha'arbayim, v'mechat ha'boker v'chadiskah, so each korban, tamid, once in the morning and once in the afternoon, has a meal offering that goes along with it, and a wine libation that goes along with it. This is what the Torah is saying. Ola tamid adorotechem, petach ol moed lefnei Hashem, ashe ivaed lachem shama ledaber eilecha Hashem. Let's look at this pasuk Hashem. Again, Pasuk Mem Bet. That's what the Torah says. This is a perpetual sacrifice given forever. Petach, or Moed, Lifnei Hashem, Asher, Iva'ed Lachem Shama, Ledaber LaHashem. I want this sacrifice to be given in the same place where God speaks to man. In fact, God spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the distinction of the Meshiloach, he was Adam, he was Moach, he was all in his head, so to speak. You know, because he was he had completely overwhelmed the Behemah in him. The next pasuk says, "V'no adati shava l'vnei Yisrael v'mikdash b'chvodi." So there's a maaseh. Right, there's a ma'aseh. What's the ma'aseh that the Torah directs us to do? To give korban tamid. That's the ma'aseh. That ma'aseh will fashion the behemah in us, because it turns our capacity to act into a capacity to make the meeting between God and man actually happened. It actualizes it, right? So in other words, that the Beit HaMikdash was, as it says in the Pesukim, it's based on the idea that you could neutralize the Behemah in man and turn it all into the Adam of man / woman, right? That you neutralize the Behemah and you become the Moach. Because what does the Torah say? You'll give the korban tamid. You'll give it every day and every day. What's going to happen? There'll be a meeting between heaven and created man / woman. There'll be v'no adati l'Hashem. That's what the pasuk says. Moshe Mem Gimel. V'no adati shavu l'vnei Yisrael v'nikach b'chvodi. So this pattern that was established by the Meshiloach can be seen as being vindicated in the psukim of the Torah. And then the last pasuk says, "V'kidashti et ol moed v'et ha'mizbech v'et aron v'et banav akadesh l'chahen li." So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "V'kidashti kadesh li kol b'chor." There's two kinds of kadesh. There's like you do something, but then if you do it, if you're able to neutralize the behemah in yourself, like the ma'aseh, to turn the ma'aseh of man into an exalted kind of exalt a kind of activity. And you know, in the secular world, that's what they try to do that for hundreds of years, right? In other words, like people paint and they sculpt and they do architecture. And what is all of that? In other words, they can build houses, but they don't build houses. They do architecture. Because what is architecture? I mean, I'm going to tell you something now. I don't really know that much about it, but I'll say it anyway. Architecture is the attempt to turn a physical activity that you need. You have to build a house, for example, to build a building, into a spiritual activity. And therefore, even though it sometimes seems to be a little bit exaggerated, nevertheless, it's probably correct that you could talk about the spirit of architecture. Just as you could talk about the spirit of music and the spirit of art. I mean, these are attempts that we, man / woman, make to turn ma'aseh into something that is beyond ma'aseh. Because we start off like the animals, like we do things that we have to do. You have to dig a hole in the ground to store things. You have to put up a wall to protect yourself. I mean, that's what we do. We do that. But eventually we try, it seems, to turn these perfunctory acts into spiritual achievements of their own, so that we don't build houses, we architect them. Right? We don't sing songs, we play, we make music. I don't know if that distinction is correct, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean? Music is not just everybody walk around humming to his own tune. Music is something that is exalting. I mean, most people would agree to that. Whereas, so it turns the ma'aseh into a kedusha. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that if we do this, if we work hard to turn ma'aseh into kedusha, the last pasuk, v'kidashti et ol mu'ed v'et ha'mizbeach v'daron v'et v'nava kadesh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we try, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will notice Aaron Abanav, who are wearing the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, the Ephod, and the Avnei Shoham, which has the names of the Bnei Israel, right at the point that distinguishes the Moach and the Ma'aseh, or the Moach and the Behemah of us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he sees this attempt that's being made. That we give the Korban Tamid every morning and every afternoon, and we do the proper thing, and we try to do ma'aseh, sanctify the ma'aseh. We have to shech the animals, we have to collect the blood, we have to do all kinds of things that seem kind of a little, annoying. Nevertheless, if we do them right, we're promised that the result is going to be a meeting between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Kohanim and the Beit HaMikdash, because we're working to neutralize that behemah within each one of us. So that's what we talked about. Avnei Shoham as representing an attempt to kind of grow in spirituality. All of the Shvatim are found on this meeting place between the Moach and the Ma'aseh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems at the end of the parasha Tetzaveh to actually say all of that. Say, if you'll try, then this will be the result. This is what is going to happen. Along the way, we also try to explain that a Bechor, like there are two kinds of Bechorot. There's a Bechor in Ma'aseh, and there's a Bechor in Machshava. Everybody can be a Bechor in Machshava, right? Everybody can try to be the one who is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This may be the pshat in the Rambam at the end of Shemitah B'Yovel, where the Rambam says that everybody can be one of the Bnei Levi, even though, of course, they can't. Only Bnei Levi can be Bnei Levi, but the idea of Bnei Levi is available to everybody. Have a good Shabbos.